Ezekiel chapter 16, and let's read verses 44 through 52 this evening. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter, that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria. She and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand, is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as it, if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all their ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I told them, away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sister in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed, more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame in that thou hast justified thy sister. A lot of ways and a lot of what the Lord God Jehovah has to say to Jerusalem here, to Judah here, is quite astonishing. The things that he has to say. We've called this point the sixth point. We've called it the dreadful corruption of Jerusalem. God's judgment on Jerusalem was a certainty. It was sure to come. He keeps his word. He had been sending prophets early, he says. Many times, early on, warning them to repent, warning them that if they did not repent, his judgment would come. He had told them before ever going into the promised land, back in the book of Deuteronomy, that these things would be if they disobeyed, if they were not obedient. His judgment is sure to come. The judgment of the end of the world, the judgment of the nations, the judgment upon Israel Just because it hasn't happened, just because God has been long-suffering and has been patient because of His bowels of compassion, because He's a merciful God who delights in mercy. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Wake up. Wake up. The things you see going on in our country today, the things you see going on in the world today are a sign, are a signal that God's judgment is coming. It is about to fall. His judgment is sure. It is certain. Why is it certain? It's certain because of corruption. It's certain to fall upon Jerusalem and Judah, and did fall upon Jerusalem and Judah because of their corruption, because of their evil. He calls it their great abominations, the abominable acts which they did. There was a common proverb in Ezekiel's day, and in our day as well. We read it there in 44, as is the mother, so is her daughter. We've heard that proverb. The thing we apply to fathers and sons. Children inherit their parents' nature. Adam and Eve sinned. In the day that they sinned, their nature was corrupt. It was evil. It was one of sin. They were sinners. And every child born to Adam and Eve, every child of Adam and Eve's posterity, and according to Acts chapter 17, we all are of Adam and Eve. And we're all born with that sin nature. In fact, with me the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And chapter 5. In verse 12. We'll read a few verses here. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. we came forth, we were born of the same nature that Adam and Eve had, that Adam and Eve passed on to their children, and their children passed on to their children, and right on down through to this present day. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That is, not all of them took of the forbidden fruit. Not all of them ate of the tree. But they all become sinners, following the desires and passions of their heart. who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus Christ came. The gift came by Jesus Christ. He came to save his people. He came to bring eternal life, everlasting life to his people, to those that the Father had given him before the foundation of the world. So we children inherit the nature of their parents. They follow in their parents' footsteps. Often they repent. They repeat the same sins of their father or their mother. They may have hated it growing up that their father was an alcoholic. Many children find themselves following in their father's footsteps being an alcoholic. Not always. But is that child that does not follow in their father's footsteps of being drunken, being a drunkard? Does that mean he's not a sinner? No, he still sins. He sins in plenty of other ways. We'll be looking at some of that, I think, this evening. And this is the case with Jerusalem. She was a true daughter of her mother who despised her husband and her children. An adulterer or an adulteress do not really and truly love their spouse, nor do they really and truly love their children. They love themselves above their spouses and above their children. They love their desires and their passions that they follow after. The family identity is listed for us in verse 45. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. Two Canaanites. Two Canaanite nations, whose history is one of this. The Lord's people and their children. They despised the Lord. They despised God. The Canaanites despised God. They despised their children. Who were their children? Well, it told us here, Israel, Judea, the Jews were their children. They despised the Lord and offered up their children as sacrifices. Their literal physical children, they offered up as sacrifices unto the Lord. and Jerusalem, Judea, followed in the same footsteps as did the Canaanites. We've rehearsed all of that in past lessons in this 16th chapter, how that she did that. She followed, turned away from the Lord God, turned away from her husband, and sought after the gods of the Canaanites, and had the gods of the Canaanites, and offered up her children unto those gods, till Jerusalem followed in the footsteps of her parents, rejecting the Lord and offering the children as sacrifices to false gods. She was a true sister. Jerusalem was a true sister of her older sister, Samaria. We know who the Samaritans were. They were Israelites. Samaria eventually became the capital of the northern kingdom, or the seat of government for the northern kingdom. So Samaria in the north. And then get this. And her younger sister, Sodom, which was to the south. But both in the land of Canaan. Canaanite cities. Samaria and Sodom, Canaanite cities, who despised their husband and their children. Isn't that something? Samaria, Sodom, despised their husband. Who? God, their creator. God, their maker. They went contrary to God. In so doing, they despised their children. The Samaritans, Samaria also offered up her children unto idols, unto Baal, unto those gods. Sodom offered up their children to their sodomy and their bestiality. Let me tell you, our country is trying to do that tonight. The United Nations, which was supposed to be a peacekeeping force, but the United Nations is trying to offer up children to adults for sex. There's a state in the Union now trying to take children. Take your parental rights away. You don't have any parental rights for the children. If the bill that they passed succeeds, and a child is wanting to have a gender switch, the state can come in and take those children so that you cannot stop it. And they will not tell you. They don't have to tell you where they're at. This is going on in the United States. States of America on our soil. The very thing that God is laying to the charge of Jerusalem, has laid to the charge of Sodom and Samaria, and now to Jerusalem. Husband, here, as we've already alluded to, equals the Lord. They owe their love and allegiance to Him. Samaria, because He was their God. He was their deliverer. He brought them out of Egypt. But Sodom, by virtue of he's their creator, he's the sovereign, he's their master. But they rejected him, worshiped themselves and worshiped false gods. They despised children, offered as human sacrifices, offered to one another to satisfy their desires and passions, lust of their flesh. Jerusalem, instead of taking a stand for the Lord, the one true God, gradually adopted the same wicked lifestyle and idolatrous practices as her wicked sisters, Samaria and Sodom. Jerusalem was guilty of walking in the same wicked ways of the other cities. But did you notice she did so more exceedingly than they did? Verse 47 in our text. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. Well, at the beginning, it sounds kind of good at the beginning, doesn't it? But, there's that word but, changes everything. But if that were a very small thing, her sisters did, is as if that was a very small thing, thou was corrupted more than they in all thy ways. How sad. How sad. She had Sodom as an example. She had Sodom as a testimony. And more recently, she had Samaria as an example, as a testimony. Did she repent? No. She continued on in her lewd practices, in her lewd and lustful ways. Jerusalem did worse than Sodom. Think about that. God says she did worse than Sodom. Whose sin was, and he lists her sin, pride, fullness of bread. The land of Sodom was very, very fruitful. It was full of bread. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. And look with me at verse 10. Genesis 13 and verse 10. And lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. After he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, not so. She's a wasteland even to today. She's a wasteland. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. She was like the garden of the Lord, like the Garden of Eden. That was Lot's problem. He had eyes like so many of God's people today have eyes. Have eyes for gold and silver. I have eyes that lust for the body, for the increase, for the wealth, the riches, the stature that they can get. Behold, you can imagine a land like Sodom and Gomorrah of great abundance, well-watered plains as the garden of the Lord. Why, there wasn't anything that they lacked. They had it all. Eating and drinking to excess. Abundance. He says abundance of idleness. Because they were so well to do, they had nothing to do. Idleness, abundance of idleness. Neglect of the poor and needy. I mean, here she had all this wealth, all this abundance. But she neglected the poor and needy. Because of their haughtiness, they committed abominations before the Lord. Wicked. Wicked immorality. And idolatry. Turn with me, book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. And look with me at verse 2. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were lifted with pride. They become haughty. They became shameful. They became a disgrace. A disgrace that we know of today. All these thousands of years later, we know of her shame today, her disgrace today. But with the lowly is wisdom. Those who are humble, those who are walking lowly is wisdom. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 13. And look with me at verse 11. Isaiah 13 and verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Listen, our world is a proud and a haughty world. Our country, the United States of America, is a proud and a haughty country. They think that no one can touch them. No one can overthrow them. It'd be crazy, stupid for anyone to attack us. They think. Because of our pride and arrogancy and haughtiness. But listen, don't forget that God lifteth up one nation And he can bring that same nation more. We have begun to see it in Sunday school with the Babylonians. He lifted up the Babylonians, lifted up them up into power to be his servant, to bring this judgment, this wrath of God upon Jerusalem. And after 70 years of being under Babylonian rule and captivity, then he's going to punish Babylon. Because they're lifted up with pride. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 50. In fact, this passage of Scripture is talking about Babylon. Jeremiah 50 and verse 31. Behold, I'm against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. Stand this against Babylon. I'm against you. This is after the 70 years. He's now going to bring judgment on Babylon. 70 years before that, he used her to bring judgment upon Jerusalem. Now he's going to bring judgment upon Babylon. O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for my day is come, the time that I will visit thee. Yes. God visits the proud in judgment and in wrath. Jerusalem was guilty of far more wickedness than Samaria. Back to our text in the book of Ezekiel. In look at verse 51. He said, neither hath Samaria committed half. We know how wicked and evil the northern kingdom had become. In fact, from the days of Solomon, when the kingdom was divided upon Solomon's death and Rehoboam taking the throne, when it was divided in the 10 northern tribes, went with Jeroboam. There wasn't a good king. There was not a king that walked in the ways of the Lord all the rest of the days of the northern kingdom. That's how wicked they were. And here he says in our text verse that Samaria hadn't done half of what Jerusalem's guilty of. Jerusalem was guilty of so much evil that Samaria seemed righteous. Seemed like a good place to be. She was guilty of far more wickedness than her sister Samaria and Sodom. Verse 52. Thou also which hast judged thy sisters. I mean she looked, Jerusalem looked down on her sister, looked down on Samaria, looked down on Sodom. Thou also which hast judged thy sisters. Bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They're more righteous than they seem more righteous than you. They seem like good people compared to you. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, and that thou hast justified thy sisters. They openly committed sin and showed no shame whatsoever. So horrible. So horrible were her sins that it is re-emphasized that her sisters seemed righteous in comparison to her. Imagine being charged with committing more wickedness than Sodom. The book of Job. Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 15. And look with me at verse 16. How much more abominable and filthy is man? Man, this is all men, which drinketh iniquity like water. It just guzzle it down like water. You're satisfied for a bit, but you go right back to it and drink it down again. More of the thing. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart of man. Not this thing that beats blood through our bodies, but the seat of our passions and desires is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Romans, book of Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned, every man, mankind, all of mankind has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look what he said up there in verse 12. Up in verse 12, he said, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Jerusalem was no better than Sodom. Jerusalem was no better than Samaria. In fact, they were worse. And all three of them were sinners exceeding before the Lord. That all three of them had done great abominable works before the Lord.
We have too. Christian friend, don't be lifted up with pride. Don't be filled with pride. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Look with me at verse 19. This describes every man. Not that every man is guilty of all of these, but every man fits in these categories somewhere. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Did you look upon a woman and lust after her? Jesus said you've committed adultery already in your heart. Do you look after anyone and lust after them? You've committed fornication or adultery. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. And several passages of Scripture in the New Testament tell us that idolatry, which covetousness, which is idolatry. And we all covet things. Covet things that God has not given us. The provider of our need. And we covet those things which he has not given us. Witchcraft, hatred. Oh, there's nobody that hates anybody, is there? You don't have to look far in our society today to find that's not so. Therein, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice the comparison, the other side of it. But the fruit of the Spirit. And let me say right from the start, it's the fruit of the Spirit. You must have the Spirit of God indwelling you. You must have the Spirit of God indwelling you, and He must be leading you for these things to be accomplished in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, agape love. It's not partial love, it's impartial love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Those desires and passions that proceed from a corrupt heart. He's crucified those. This flesh wants to do those things. But the child of God, those that are in Christ Jesus, those who have the Spirit of God dwelling them and are led by the Spirit of God, they crucify the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you don't live in the Spirit, then you can't help but do the works of the flesh that we read over there in verses 19 through 21. Let us not be desirous of gaining glory, provoking one another, envying one another. But let us have the fruit that the Spirit of God works in us: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The wrath of God is coming upon all workers of iniquity. All workers of iniquity. If you're in Christ Jesus, you've been set free. You don't have to sin. You don't have to be a worker of iniquity. But if you're not yet in Christ Jesus, that is, if you've not yet repented of your sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only means, as the only way of salvation, then you're yet in your sins. You're yet in your iniquities. You're a worker of iniquity, and God's judgment is soon to fall upon you. Shall we pray?